Allie, would you like to take it away, sir?
Absolutely. So hello and welcome to our, believe it or not, July teleseminar. And as most of you know, my name is Allie Alberigo, and I've been consulting with Member Solutions and a client. It sounds like the Hair Club of America ad, but I've been a client for like around 13 or 14 years. I just spoke with Jeff Cohen last night, and we were trying to figure out how long it's been. And we've had it's just been an amazing ride, and it's been really, really awesome. So 13 years, that's a long time. Anyway, I'm really excited about how the year has gone so far. Now, some of you may be saying, excited, you know, we're in, as we hear every day, one of the worst times in our lifetime. But then again, there's a song by one of my favorite bands, I might be dating myself a little, is Styx, and it's called The Best of Times. Although the song isn't really about what we're going to talk about or what we've been going through, but the title fit well. So, you know, about 4 months ago or so, I had dinner with a world-famous salesperson and motivational speaker, Brian Tracy. It was one of the most enlightening dinners that I could have had. He was at a seminar speaking. I happened to be at his table. So after he would speak for 15 or 20 minutes, he'd come and he'd sit down and I'd get to pick his brain. And when we sat, we talked and spoke about many different ways that Mr. Tracy believed we should approach the martial arts and sales of programs in our school. He also mentioned to me in the conversation that he thought we should never speak of the word recession, never mention it, or depression, or whatever it may be. Think about it. The more we speak of it, the more it becomes true. And here are my thoughts. If we take on the mentality, even though times are tough, we need to show strength in our organization. People will want to be with us. Strength is an admirable trait, but weaknesses scare people. And now right now the media is just breeding fear within our society. And for whatever reason they do it, it's just something that even the people who are doing well, they're finding out that millionaires with tons of, you know, money sitting in the bank are still pulling back and conserving. They're going on less vacations. They're leasing a less expensive car because to them the future is a little bit, you know, I guess it would be a little darker or maybe just unsure. So I want to just make sure that you guys realize that strength is an admirable trait. So always when you speak of your school, when you speak of, you know, the year, when you speak of how you're doing, try to paint a picture of strength because that will help people be on board with what you do. And I recently decided for me to take a different approach to running my schools. And I've been actually in this transition for about 2 or 3 years, and I've been preaching this to my clients and my elite coaching clients and my one-on-one calls that I do for a long time. When many people, they ask me about the word expanding, you know, they want to open a second location or a third location. And my first response is to always ask the question. And I like to respond with a question to a question sometimes because it just creates a better dialogue. And I ask my clients how many people they have in their school currently. And if they're looking to expand into a second location, I wonder and I ask them if they're at their full maximum capacity. Now, you may be saying, what does this have to do with you? But the real truth of the matter is it has a lot to do with you because right now in your schools, you have to ask, are you maximizing everything that you're doing? And I've done seminars on maximization. It's actually a teleseminars out there. There's some articles, so go back into the archives and check them out. But the normal and most common response is that most of the people who are looking to expand really have not, you know, peaked out at their existing location, and they're not at full capacity. So I then ask them why they're looking to expand, why they would want to be taking on more. It's almost like saying that someone has a child, and they're having a hard time dealing with one child. Well, they figured, let's have two and three more. It's just going to multiply the amount of stress that you have or the amount of, you know, time that you have to spend. And if you're not ready for one, you can't be ready for three and four, right, or two or three. So I ask that if you are thinking about expanding, the question is, are you maximizing what you have going right now? Now, since I'm in a different frame of mind myself, I used to preach the saying and yell it from the rooftops, and this was my quote, high quality, low stress, and high income. Even though that I told many of my clients this, I was still making myself crazy running my day-to-day operations. I had multiple locations. At one point, I was up to 12 schools worldwide, one in Michigan, one in Brewster, New York, one in Puerto Rico, one in Bermuda, which I still have and I won't get rid of, one I had in Thailand, an affiliation, all over the place, and I was traveling every other month and, you know, teaching and testing and, you know, trying to maintain all this stuff. But then I realized, you know, about 3 years ago that I set a goal for myself, and that was to incredibly reduce my stress level. Now, this doesn't mean that I had to reduce my goals or cut back on what I wanted to achieve, but I just had to find a way to do it where I wasn't constantly ready to pull my hair out. Because listen, life is too short. As we know, you know, people are, you know, stars or, you know, celebrities like Michael Jackson and people like that have passed on untimely deaths, and it just brings us to perspective. Are we doing what we want to do? So anyway, I decided to take my own advice and then take all my stresses and condense a great deal of my expenses down and my schools and make them more profitable. I actually condensed, and I don't like to use the word closed because I didn't close it. I actually just closed the location but moved all the student body, and I happen to own this building that I closed the school down or condensed the school down. Now I'm looking to rent this building, therefore making profit on that building, and I took all the student body, 90% of them, moved to my existing location, my headquarters school. The good thing about it is I also got rid of or condensed down or however you want to laid off or whatever you want to say, 12 full-time employees, taking my payroll responsibilities, my, you know, my insurances and all of that stuff, and I eliminated it, making my school that much more profitable at the snap of a finger with that one very decision. So I'm taking my own advice, so to speak, and it's essential for you to ask yourself the question, what you're doing and how you're running your business, is it a sound business plan? And are you running your business the way that if you were a consultant or if you someone came to you and had asked your advice and you would say to that person, I wouldn't do this or I wouldn't do that. But you have to ask yourself, are you doing things within your business or not doing things within your business that you should be, that you would recommend someone else if you were their mentor not to do? Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing this up is it leads right into a multitude of many other things I want to speak of. The first being what my topic title was originally labeled as, but Kathy and I spoke about it and we didn't want to sound negative, and it was there are only 6 months left in the year. Technically, it's not only, but the good thing is on a positive note from the cup half full or half empty kind of perspective is that we have 6 months left. And the goal, of course, was to create a thought process of how quickly the year goes by and to motivate you as a business owner. And I keep saying business owner, not school owner, because I want you to understand that even though that you're a school owner and you run a martial arts school, that through and through you are truly a business owner, and you have to look at your business as it is a business, and you have to make sure that for the students, the clients, whether it be a landscape business and you having clients or you're a martial arts school with students, you have to look at your business and the professionalism of your business with the mentality that if you don't run the business professionally, it's going to fail and you're going to hurt those clients. So you want to be as professional as possible because you owe that to your students, you owe that to your clients, you owe that to yourself, and you have a responsibility to them. You know, interestingly enough, and I've spoken about this, that how many schools that I email or mail to on a regular basis are going in and out of business, and we have to make sure that we look at our business and have a sound business plan. Anyway, I often speak to clients, and they seem to set goals. I ask them if they could set goals, and they say they do, and that sometimes they don't even put it on paper. Maybe sometimes they do, but the question is, are they accomplishing them? And are they accomplishing the goals before the time allotted? So in the end of the day, if they don't, they lose out on time and fall behind. But I want to talk about a mentality, too, that people get caught up in. In fact, this quite happens quite often with some of my Taking It to the Next Level clients and also my students. And they set their goals, and they come up with different ideas. And then when they don't accomplish them, they feel discouraged and they fall behind. My first thing to share with you is the do's and don'ts about goal setting and ideas on how to succeed for the rest of the year. And of course, this is a little bit about goal setting, and I'm going to share with you the 5 stumbling blocks that people do to achieving success or achieving, my quote fingers are up, goals. Number one, you could write this down. If not, go back to the archives and listen to it. But number one, don't let time become your enemy. And we live in a society that is time-based. Why? I don't really know. Because time is a man-made invention. When we realize that time is not our enemy and nothing more than a simple function of trying to measure what things are, if we get that down and we realize that time is not our enemy, then we're all going to be in good shape. For example, for parents and students, they quite often get discouraged because they hadn't received the belt within a certain time frame that they in their head allotted, or maybe we put down on our criteria and they haven't achieved. So why is it that this time frame means so much to students and parents? Because they equate it with the growth. They equate that growth with their intelligence and their ability. So if a kid is in third grade and the grade lasts, let's say, 8 months, and if they don't learn the necessary material that they'll have left from the beginning of the year to the end, and they don't learn the material, they get left back. Or people, parents, and students consider this failure. My question to you as a business person is, do you have a set time for excellence? And anyone who's mastered anything from Tiger Woods to Michael Jordan to Steven Seagal or Randy Couture have spent years and years mastering their skill. Because who they are, they put in the time, and then they become a master at what they do. Does anyone now look at them as people who failed, or the guy who invented the light bulb or electricity, or who discovered, you know, whatever? You know, the only people that are going to make them look bad for taking all the time it took for them to, of course, master their skill is the haters and the naysayers. But I say that the person who's mastered what they've done, they've took the time and they've learned and they've practiced, they've made mistakes and they've gone over and over again. So don't let time become your enemy. The second thing I want to mention is that it's a stumbling block if you have a good grasp of time management. If you don't, let me repeat that. The second stumbling block is not having a good grasp of time management. To be clear, time management is nothing more than systems to organize yourself so that your time is used to maximum efficiency. You know, if you're not sure of my concepts of maximization, you could go back and read articles in the archives as well as listen to my past seminars on that topic, and the topic is titled Maximization. And I also talk about time management. The secret is really not a secret. It's all about discipline, which quite often is surprising to me at how many business owners lack discipline, or martial arts school owners who are hugely or highly disciplined individuals because if they wouldn't have achieved their black belt. But we would think that martial artists are the most disciplined, but to be honest, many of them are in their art form but not in their business. So my first recommendation is to find that discipline to stick to something until you've mastered it. Okay? Now, number three, the next thing I suggest is to find a way to learn and become a master at goal setting. The entire concept of goal setting, setting a plan, a roadmap, are all imperative to your success. Again, go back in the archives, and I've written another set of, you know, articles, and I've done a few teleseminars on this, on goal setting, and I would hope that you could go back and take that time and listen to it. But I want you to know that I've achieved everything I wanted in life due to the simple fact of goal setting, and I believe it's one of the most important character traits of any successful business owner, and it's one of the most important character traits that any business owner can have. Number four, another stumbling block, is essential. It's clarity. The word clarity is just so important. Having a clear understanding of what you want and how you're going to get it is essential. I guess you can say this is a type of goal setting, but really it is so far from that. For example, as a school owner, it's imperative to know who you are, know what you want, set your goals to help you get there, but with clarity, without that clarity, you may never achieve to your fullest capacity. And for example, a person wants to sail across the ocean. I mean, your guys are intelligent that are listening. They have no map, no plan, and no set idea on where they're going. And only if that's their goal, then congratulations, they've achieved it. But if they want to end up at a specific place at a specific time, they have to have a clear goal on where they're going and how they're going to get there. That's where the map, the massive action plan comes in. It takes huge preparation. So what does this mean to you as a school owner? Well, where do you want to be? Do you want to have X amount of students within X amount of months? If so, what's your plan? You know, you could call me up or email me and I'll send you my marketing action worksheet. And a lot of people do, and I send it out, and sometimes they get it and they don't use it. I ask them to send it back to me so that we could go over, and I never hear from it. That tells me that, one, time management is not being taken care of, two, goal setting, and three, clarity is not there. So many business owners never do this, and they end up somewhere, you know, at the end of their goal or at the end of the year, at the end of the time period that they set, and they're not where they want to be. Sadly enough, this means, one, they could be out of business, or two, they're struggling on a daily basis, not getting where they want to be. Number five, last but not least, it's a simple word. It's an important word. It's called distraction. Of course, when you learn how to set goals, you're taught how to achieve greatness and continue with your goals and ideals, and how to achieve them if you have clarity. Goal setting and time management skills are imperative of you learning how not to get distracted, because distractions are the destruction of some of the best goal setters. Your ability to stay on course or focus and refocus your goals are essential to your success. So again, many of my clients on my Taking It to the Next Level program, they start off with vigor and tenacity, and but they easily get distracted. And the people who lose focus end up canceling my program, but those that do not end up achieving amazing results. Some of them have quadrupled their schools. Some of them have gone up, 200-300% in profit. So sometimes people will cancel saying that the program doesn't work for them. And I normally, again, I ask a question. It's a good idea that if I gave them a good idea that can make them money to pay off the entire program, would they consider that a good deal? And, of course, they agree. So I also give them one income generator. One income generator that has it's gained me thousands of dollars in revenue. And they say, yeah, if you gave me that income generator, it would be worth me being in your program. And then I give them that simple answer. And after a little while, they get discouraged because it sounds too simple to them. They're looking for that secret idea, the secret technique, the secret society to join. And I'm sorry to burst everyone's bubble, but it doesn't exist. Whoever is doing consulting and helping you, it's really all about taking simple ideas and presenting them to you in a fashion that you can understand and easily implement. And this is very valuable, but it only works if used. So many people, I can't tell you, if I were to supply someone a flyer, and I hand it to them, right away they take the flyer and they redo the entire thing. Why did you bother asking for it in the first place? If you wanted just an idea, I would give you an idea. But why take something and reinvent the wheel? Why do we want to waste 5, 10 hours or $100 or $200 of our money on something that could be easily used? People say to me, just for example, on a flyer, well, my students wear white gis. These students have black gis. Well, you know what? The general public doesn't know what color gi you wear, nor cares. The goal is to get the phone to ring. And if you go and you change things, the systems, the way consultants show you or programs that you may buy, and you mix it up and change it up and then you don't get the results, well, the word is duh. You know, go figure why you would do that and not get the results. Why not take something that works, use it exactly how it is, and receive the benefits from what it is. Now, I have to ask you who you are as a martial artist. Who do you want to be? How are you going to become it and achieve it? And what is it that makes you special as a martial artist? Now, with these stumbling blocks being exposed, you might ask yourself, are you really doing what is necessary to achieve greatness? Now, a while ago on another teleseminar, and I've been doing this for 4 years so I could keep on referencing teleseminars that I did, but you have not only myself but Kathy and a multitude of different really talented consultants in an archive, and it's just amazing at how much you have at your fingertips. So I would go there, and you shouldn't take a day that you shouldn't be listening to something new and trying to improve your business. But a while ago, I talked to people about breaking down hours in a week. Now, of course, we have 24 hours in a day, 168 hours in a week. Now, I ask people, and I'm going to give this to you in a scenario that you might kind of spark a little bit of enlightenment for you, but with people sleeping an average of 8 hours, which is a great deal of time for an adult, that leaves you 112 hours a week. 168 hours minus 8 hours a day for 7 days, that leaves you 112 hours. What if you spent another 3 hours a day in the bathroom, showering, maintaining your hygiene, et cetera, et cetera? That'll take another 21 hours, bringing you down to 91 hours left in the week. Now, let's say that you take 4 hours a day to relax, eat, watch TV, read a book, whatever, play a guitar. Now that leaves you 68 hours in the work week for you to run your school. Now, with me being quite – with that being – quite higher than the average amount of time that most people put into their schools, I believe that a lot of us are wasting our time or simply not realizing that a lot of our time is being wasted in transit, going to Starbucks, surfing the internet. And really it is all about focusing your activities, of your day-to-day activities, on what you want to do. So at the end of the week when you look back, you have check marks off of so many things that you've achieved. And my question is, how much time do you put into growing your business, marketing it, servicing your clients? Really, what are you doing every single week to move forward? This morning, I went with my daughter. We got breakfast at the diner. I bulk emailed my entire staff, and I asked them, what are we doing today to grow our schools? What are we doing today to become more profitable? What are we doing today to being more personally satisfied in the life that we live? Because tomorrow is really not going to ever come because you're always in the moment. So right now, you're on the phone listening to this. The question is, after this, what are you going to do? What are you going to put in place, and how are you going to do it to get going? Remember, 40 hours a week is to just get by. That's what most employees put in to survive. Anything above 50 hours is to succeed. I personally work, 10-hour days every day. I'm doing 70 hours a week minimum. And even when I relax, I'm doing things that I enjoy, like web development or concept ideas or new theories and systems and so on. So I'm constantly working. Even in my relaxation, quote, finger hands up again, the quote hands, I'm still working. So I would say I probably put in 90 hours a week. You know, let's think about this. Remember that, those 40 hours a week are to get by. 50 and above is to succeed. So how much do you want the prize and the end game? How much time are you going to put in now? The more time you put in now, the more time you get to relax and goof off later. So think about this. 6 months and counting, or should I say 6 months on the countdown, it's essential for us to realize that we have 6 months left in our year, if that makes any difference to your goals. And we have to think with the end in mind. So even though this calendar year can technically start at any time, we could start it from June to June, we have to ask ourselves, what do we want to achieve each month and by year end? And, this is important. So here are some things you may want to think about now. Number one, are you where you want to be? If so, or if not, what direction do you want to go? Question number one, are you where you want to be? If so, or if not, what direction do you want to go? Number two, are you achieving the results you set out for or to do? Quite often, most of my staff gets very frustrated when they put out effort and they don't get the response or return on their invested time. So we may go hand out 4,000 door hangers and get no calls. So there are a few things that we may want to ask ourselves. Well, maybe it's the timing. Maybe it's the area. Maybe it's the neighborhood. Maybe it's the income bracket in which the neighborhood exists. Or maybe it is a terrible flyer, a terrible door hanger. So what do? Do we scrap it and try something new? Or do we just tweak it slightly to see if that little change makes any difference? The key to this is about consistency. It's about continually working the same plan over and over again, slightly tweaking it, and analyzing the results to make sure that you're improving the results all the time. That's why marketing agencies make the big bucks, because what they do is they work and tweak, and they analyze and do questionnaires until they hit it where something could grow their business, by a large amount in a small amount of time. So two, are you achieving the results you set out for? If so, then congratulations, and I wonder why you're on the call. If not, then what are you going to do to achieve, or where do you want to be at the end of the results you're looking for? Define, that by using goal setting and clarity, and making sure that it's essential that you find the things that you want to perfect and what you want to change and work on doing that. But do not stop until it's done. Don't start and quit and lose motivation and lose steam. Three, what is your time frame? Do you have a timeline? To be clear, what is your goal and what do you want to achieve in a certain amount of time, and how and when and why? Also, how are you going to achieve it? What is your focus? What is it that you're going to do to get there? Again, that's your map, your massive action plan map. And again, this falls into the category of goal setting and time management, but without clarity, knowing what you want to be is a waste of time. And number four, what is your end game? Do you want to teach forever? Do you want to retire at a specific age, or do you want to sell your school at a specific time when you reach a specific financial goal? Or, what is your end game? Do you plan on selling your business, or what are you going to do if, God forbid, your time ends prematurely, like I talked about before, like poor Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett and Ed McMahon and that other guy who does the Billy Mays, I think his name is, who does all those infomercials. Do you guys have a contingency plan in effect to protect all of your hard work and your family and your students in case something happens? In other words, don't put off today what you need to have in place for tomorrow. Number five, again, this is not the, this is the number five on this particular countdown. What do you want to be when you grow up? I know I asked this before in the past. This is all about creating your vision. Are you a typical martial artist that thinks that what you do is so unique and original that everyone is going to flock to your doors? And you're not going to believe this, but there's so many people that open up a school, and when I consult with them and they say to me, I have 40 students, and I ask them, how long have you had 40 students? And they say, oh, we've been this way for 5, 6, 7 years, 10, 15 years. I'm shocked, but not surprised, I guess, so to speak, because I wonder, what they're going to do. And I think that every martial artist is so proud of what they've accomplished and what they teach that they believe that society is going to be beating down our doors to get in our school. And we think that we're so unique, but when everyone else looks at us and, they say, well, not so unique. Are you taking time to develop a particular brand that's unique, unlike anyone else? What is it that you're doing to work on something so special that no one else in your area quite compares? Who are you as a martial artist? You know, what do people see when they look at you? I want to be clear on this, and I want to tell you a quick story. And recently, at one of my schools, we had an issue with the heat. In the middle of winter, freezing cold, I was waiting to fix the heating system that I had. We had heat, but our lobby was, 60 degrees. In the middle of winter, that could be quite cold. And I had little, room heaters lit up, and every time the door would open, it would freeze the lobby out. But I was waiting for zoning approval to put in a new heating system. I needed to get a gas heater put in. Anyway, I was doing everything I could to heat the room, and a father called me up who was quite negative, and he called me to voice his opinion, basically complain about my heating situation, that it was too cold and it was very uncomfortable for him to sit there. And I told him that we were working on it and basically to bear with me. And I also told him that it wasn't necessary for him to sit there every day. I know it's cold, but until we get this fixed, he could always sit in his car. It's the heating on the floor was perfect. The kids were warm. Everything was great. But he said that he begged to differ, and he thought that, every school had a nice toasty lobby in the sitting area, and that he could just bring his kids somewhere where it wasn't cold. And even though I explained to him that his kids weren't cold, he basically said, well, listen, I want it to be the way I want it to be. I want it to be warm and toasty in the sitting area. And then I got annoyed, and, before I lost my temper, I said that we're not like any other school. And he said to me in response, I beg to differ. And he thought that we were all cookie-cutter type businesses, that he looked at every martial arts school as similar. And I was quite annoyed, but after really calming down and thinking about it, I realized to him, all of the martial arts schools were the same. After all, he didn't know, because it was his ignorance of the martial arts schools, because he hasn't shopped around. He came to us, he was sold, we signed him up, he has been there ever since. He just assumed that everybody did everything that we do. Everything was the same as what we do, that the system, the quality of instruction, what we offer, was all similar. After all, how could he not think that, because he was so used to what we were doing? I have a quote hanging right in front of me on my wall that it says, familiarity breeds contempt. And, when people get familiar, they start to take things for granted. It happens in relationships, friendships, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, the heat was eventually fixed. He was happy. The point being is, who are you as a martial artist? What makes you special? And the big whopping question is, do your clients even know that you're all special? Again, referring back to Archives and Member Solutions, check out the article in the teleseminar I did called Tooting Your Own Horn. Do we talk enough about who we are so that our clients are educated enough to know who we are? Another enlightening piece that I thought was, when people don't know, they don't appreciate. So, but most martial arts school owners are embarrassed, or they feel that they're boasting or bragging. If they talk about what they do and how good they are, they'll think that people think that we're cocky. But you know what? If we owned a car dealership, we would have to say how good our Lexus or Mercedes or Ferrari or whatever is, and why it's so much better than the other products, or no one would ever buy it. If everyone thought the $20 car was as good as the $1,000 car, what would be the difference? Why would people buy the $1,000 car? So we have to show people by either building a brand around that product or by showing them clearly why this product is that much more better. So anyway, what are your goals for this year? What do you want to achieve before the end of the year? What is it that you want to achieve either financially, based on your student enrollment, your private time, how much vacations you want to take, how much time you spend with your family, how much you want to put in your savings, how you want to develop or add or delete or get rid of employees? Who are you and what do you want to become when you get older? Are you happy with who you are? Are you happy with how your school is running, or are you miserable? Did you actually buy yourself into, because you invested in your business, into a prison sentence? And this is where we have to be clear, because sometimes, and I've gone through this and I'm going through this right now with one of my main staff members, sometimes they just get to the point where they burn out. And as much as they think they're working hard at what they're doing, they're really not putting in the effort they did when they were fully excited and energized and motivated. Are you falling into that same trap? Do you have enough energy to, or can you change your thought process so that by the end of this year you can achieve things that are just monumental? So again, who are you and what do you do to become who you are? Are you happy with who you are? And most importantly, is who you are special? And if not, can you tweak it to the point that it makes you so unique that everyone will be flocking to your school to become a student of yours or a client? Okay, What can you do to gain that recognition and admiration of your community? What are some of the schools that are in your area that are much busier than you, or if not, schools that you know of that are cranking? What are they doing, or what aren't they doing? Even though in this economy, again, we've taken a bit of a loss, we're still, in my school, is a very lucrative business, we're still getting new clients on a daily basis, we actually have so many inquiries in my schools that I can't keep up with them. The one thing that I find, though, is that in my marketplace that people are a great deal harder to close nowadays than they were 4 years ago. With the internet technology and the amount of information as well as competition, the normal client is a lot tougher to deal with and close to sell into your school. And I think it's due to a lot of information overload, in fact, paralyzing many clients into a stall, so to speak. Someone comes in, they try the class, they love it, you try to sign them up, and they say, I don't know, let me think about it. And then they go home and they put it off and put it off and put it off. Even though they want to do it, they're not willing to take that step because of the fear that's been bred into them over the last 2 years about what are, again, quote fingers being held up, the so-called economy and where it is. So what are you going to do to help get those people out of information overload, to free them from their paralyzing mentality and help them to sign up in your school? That's a major, major question. And before I continue to go on in closing, I'm going to talk about a few other things like stat tracking and, you know, what I call the DNA of a school. I wanted to, Kathy, maybe open up to some questions that may be asked right as of this moment. If not, I'll move forward because, again, 37 minutes of nonstop talking. I want to see if anyone has a question.
There is a question, Allie. The question is, when you were talking about giving examples, can you give examples of ways to communicate why your program is special? You know, do you do it through newsletters? Just say it out loud? Like, can you give everybody a few examples of how they can communicate?
Absolutely.
Why the brand is great?
Yeah, well, of course, I'm going to give you a bunch of examples, but what I want you to know is that every example that I give you should be put into one melting pot, so to speak, and they should all be used. And I'll tell you why. I just recently spoke with a client, and I asked them in particular how they like to be marketed to. And that particular person said they love emails. Next to that person was standing someone else, and they said, oh, I don't ever read my emails. And I'm saying in my head, this is the 21st century. I pretty much live on email. I mean, I know you do, Kathy, as well. I could email you, and within 15 minutes, 10 minutes, you're already emailing me back. So we live in the 21st century of this technology, but there are still so many people out there that don't email every day, they don't check their email every month, they see things, they delete it without reading it. So the two different people standing at my counter had two entirely different modes of communication. So my answer to everyone out there is that you have to have as many different ways to communicate with your clients to blanket, if we're going to do the shotgun approach, so that, for example, in my school, we send out a newsletter. Continually talking about upcoming events, continually talking about specials, continually giving them articles and insight and so on. Not only do we send the email newsletter, we also will do video emails. We have our website where we communicate, and this is all internet-based. Then we do an auto dialer where we send a phone call. It dials their phone. I'm now getting involved with a technology which I think is amazing because it immediately gets me into people's hands, and I tested it last night. It was instant messaging and text messaging in bulk, and I sent about 20 text messages out yesterday and got 19 responses this morning, much more so than I ever would have gotten. And it was a friendly text message. By the way, I'm going to be in Vegas this coming week. I'll be getting in on Thursday, leaving on Wednesday or Thursday, and you know, just wanted to see if we could get together. And every single person emailed me back out of, not every, but 19 out of 20. Now, anyway, that's one method. So text messaging is another, the auto dialer, giving a call, and then personal messages, of course, mat chats, telling people while you're on the floor, and then, of course, in the lobby as well, talking to the clients. And I personally love phone calls directly to the house, asking a parent or a student, do you have 5 minutes of your undivided attention where I could just talk to you about three topics? I'll get you off the phone within 5 or 10 minutes, and if this is okay. But I think it's really important at that time to ask people how they individually like to communicate. And let's say you have five different types of communication, but you might have one person who likes email. They read all your emails and newsletters. One person who likes text messaging. One person who likes a phone call. Now you can segment off those different categories, and then you could follow up with them. But the key is to find out how they like to communicate. Right now, we use the blanket approach, and we'll send out 5 different types of communication, but most people get annoyed when they're getting bombarded with different things, and then that tends to give what I call, again, one of my articles I wrote was called white noise, where people start to hear too much static, and they just immediately shut down. It's almost like seeing an ad over and over and over again on TV and not even caring what the product is, because it has nothing to do with who you are, so you immediately start fast-forwarding through all the TV commercials, you know? So we have to find out, the answer to that question is how people like us to communicate. And let's say you have 100 students and 25 love email, 25 love phone calls, 25 love text messaging. I mean, it would behoove a school owner to find out what those school owners, or I mean those clients out there, and how they like to be communicated with, so that we could communicate far better than ever before. I hope that answered the question. Any other questions?
Yes. Let me double check to see if any more have come in.
Okay, awesome.
That looks like it for now.
Hey, anyone online that wanted to ask a question in real time? Okay, not a problem. So now I want to talk about, what do we do to really, get the recognition and admiration of our community? Of course, this is about developing a brand. But think about this. I've had, and I always love to use my failures and my successes or me as an example, because who better knows what happened than myself? It's not a theory. It's not a concept. I've lived it, and I share it. And I've been in my building that I'm sitting at right now talking to you for 18 years, continually, and this is going to never end, probably until the day I die or get out of the business. People come in my door and say, oh, wow, it's good to see a martial arts school open up in the area. And I just kind of chuckle, and I say, we've been here for 18 years. And they go, well, what do you mean? And every little thing that I do, that I changed. Like, we have a little Torrey Gate sign. It's no more than like 7 foot tall by 5 foot wide, and it was made with wood, natural wood color, I-beams, and a Torrey Gate kind of top, which is that curved kind of Japanese top, and it was natural wood color. And I said to one of my staff members, let's get a can of red, bright red fire engine red paint and paint the Torrey Gate like the Japanese Torrey Gates are in Japan. So we painted it, and that next 2 or 3 weeks, people came in, oh, I saw your sign. Every single little change that gets us to be uncamouflaged, even if that's a word, because when things become normal, we become camouflaged to the people's sight, So my building has been there for 18 years. People have been zipping past it for 18 years. The same waterfall in the front, the same signs on the building. So I continually try to change little things to create some awareness of who we are. Now, this could be with my existing clients. It could be with my old clients that have been in my school, and then people who've never seen me. So what can we do to get that recognition and admiration of our community? Not only changing our storefront, not changing our offers, but also how do we get out into our community so that we're looked at as the expert in our community? Why are some schools so busy while others aren't? Why are there, within my community of my town of West Islip, New York, we have about 28,000 households. That's just the township that my school is located. That doesn't include a 3-mile radius around my school, reaching out into other townships. But out of the 28,000, I'd be happy with, probably a 10% market, right, which is 2,800. That would make me ecstatic, right? But right now, 5%, 4%, 3% would be huge for most school owners, right? Even 1% would be great, 280 students out of a 28,000 household, area. So I ask you guys, what are you doing? How much time are you spending every single day of every single week, even if it's a half hour, sending out press releases, calling up and finding out where the local fairs are, finding out what schools that you could go to? Of course, it's summertime now, but I'm going to give you one quick thing that I came up with, and it was far too late when I came up with it, so I didn't get a good market penetration with it. But I did a thank you letter to all school teachers. I gave it to all my clients and the kids, and I asked them to bring it in and hand it to their teacher as a thank you. Included in the letter was every bit sincere, because I believe that public educators or school teachers are an amazing individual, and they help our kids, my daughter, become who they are. They're just so important, yet I believe they're underpaid and underappreciated. So we wrote this letter saying thank you for being who you are and doing what you do, and I just wanted to pay special tribute, and I offered them 5 2-month passes for free as a way of saying thank you. And then I gave them 2-week passes for every other student in the classroom. And I asked them to distribute it according to how they thought, and if they didn't think it was a good idea, to just throw it in the garbage. Well, out of that, so far, we've gotten about 20 people coming in for the different passes or the two-month specials. In fact, my daughter's school teacher plans to come in with her stepdaughter and her three sisters, so that's five new members trying out my program, all from one simple letter. Now, I didn't get this out like I wanted to, so next year, on my Taking It to the Next program, Taking It to the Next Level, we're going to have a really systemized, organized way of doing this so that my clients can experience it. And if you guys want it, you know, give me a call and we'll talk about it, or email me, and I'll be able to help you. So anyway, that's one marketing idea, but how do we get that admiration and, you know, recognition from our community? We have to be out there every day, going, knocking on businesses and introducing yourself, giving free passes to those people that own those businesses, maybe asking them to give those passes to their clients. And even though in this economy that we've taken this bit of a loss, we've found that our business is still bringing in people. You know, we've actually had those inquiries. Now we just got to lock them down, and, you know, we got to really make sure that it works. And now I want to talk about one other thing that I think is the lifeblood. And I talked about this 3 years ago on teleseminars and weekly emails till I was, you know, kind of almost beating a dead horse. In fact, that, you know, the people at Member Solutions, the higher-ups, had said that, you know, let's move on because the topic seems to be so repetitive that people are getting a little frustrated. And it's all about stat tracking. This is the lifeblood of your school. The only way to truly know what's going on in your school is by tracking the stats, meaning tracking the past. For example, what is your monthly quit rate? Do you know that? If you do, I applaud you. If you don't, learn it. Because you want to find out how many students are quitting on a monthly basis. Because you may have a really good month and get 20 new members, but if you lost 20 old members, it doesn't matter. You're still at 0% growth. Not only do we want to know how many people are quitting on a monthly basis, but we also want to know who. And we want to know, you know, why. We have to go a little deeper than just knowing, well, we lose 20 and we gain 20. We want to know what the reasons are. So what do? Do we look at the stats as one general kind of thing, or do we look at it individually? And I think that we need to break it down as much as we would if we were like a forensic investigator. We need to know the little things about everything, which is going to give us the answers in the end. So we want to know if we lost 25 people, we want to know how many of them are 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. Are they boys? Are they girls? What belt level were they at? All of the answers to the questions that you ask will end up in you seeing the trends and knowing what to focus on and change. So many school owners will come to me and say, you know, I'm losing people. What do I do? And I don't know. I'm not there. I haven't witnessed a school, their school, and how they teach classes. Quite frankly, and I'm going to be honest, and I hope no one gets offended, is that I don't know whether that school owner is the worst teacher or sucky teacher. I don't know if they're not that good. So I can't really say, other than give them ideas and concepts of what may be happening, but I don't know. Maybe that instructor needs to take some acting classes or learn a little bit about charisma, or they need to make their curriculum a little bit more interesting or make it a little less difficult. I'm not exactly positive, but we need to look at our DNA, so to speak, like a forensic investigator, a crime scene investigator, to know what's happening. Are we losing too many 3-year-olds? Out of those 23-year-olds that we lost, were they all girls? Well, maybe that instructor's scaring them. You know, maybe the curriculum is too tough. Maybe it's not fun enough. Maybe it's too mature, et cetera, et cetera. All the answers to these questions will end up in you seeing if there are those trends and what you need to focus on. If upon looking at this you find that most of your quits are a certain category, now you look deeper and you start to slowly tweak. And it might take months for you to see the results, but the answers lie in you becoming this crime scene investigator, a forensic investigator. The answer is in discovering who, you know, for a forensic investigator, the criminal is. And sometimes it lies in a strain of hair, or it lies in a piece of clothing or some cloth that was left on the scene. But we as school owners sometimes do not, I repeat, do not look deep enough to realize that we as school owners may be our own worst enemy. It's always good to look deeper and try to discover the trends, then make the decision if change would make a difference. Now, I do stress not to just quickly lose your integrity and sell out for the money. I love MMA. I've talked about this many times. But the minute MMA came on board, it started to show every single school, or not every single school, many schools are right away adding MMA to their curriculum. There's some of them are changing their entire identity over to an MMA school. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you're looking to do. But I've always succeeded teaching the art of ninjutsu without changing what I do. I've never followed any of the trends. But what I have to say that I did was I found out what I could do within that trend to market what I do best. And I want you to understand that you don't have to technically give up on who you are, on your traditions, on your style, on your curriculum, on your system, but maybe you have to think of it through a different set of glasses, so to speak. If the MMA is hot, what is it about the MMA that appeals to the client base, and how can you tap into that base without entirely selling out? If you're an MMA school, that's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. What will make you different than all the hundreds of MMA schools that are opening up now? What is going to give you that brand identity? And I also want to stress quickly, you know, make sure that you don't quickly lose your identity. Don't sell out for the money, because if you do, you'll constantly be selling out every few years. You know, we've gone through it all. We've gone through the cardio kick. We've gone through the self-defense. We've gone through the weight loss programs. We've gone through, you know, all the different specialty self-defense classes. And yet every single few years, maybe one or two years, something new is coming out. That's the rage. But that doesn't mean you have to follow that. You have to stick to a sound business plan and don't let go of who you are. But also, too, don't hold on so much to your ego, because sometimes our own ego, our ideals, will put us in an early grave. So be open-minded to change. Make sure that it fits your morals and your integrity and your goals. In other words, if change makes you miserable, figure out how to make that change and stick to your plans without selling out and be miserable, but don't sell out just for the sake of. I'm going to give you an example. A good friend of mine, I won't mention names, is a musician. And he was a hard rock musician, just absolutely loved it. And at the time when he was in the height of his fame, they kind of worked him into becoming this like kind of pop star musician. And he did it. He made a heck of a lot of but he was miserable the entire time. I'm glad that he made the money, because now he's actually retired or semi-retired, and he's still doing music. And now in his older age, now my age, 44 years old, he's living the lifestyle, doing what he wants to do. But for the money, he sold out. But for that period of time, he was really miserable. At times, he was quite depressed. And he asked himself, why am I even in this business anymore? So we have to ask ourselves, are we doing what we love every day? And, of course, can we tweak it slightly to appeal to a masser market? And how do we do it and enjoy it every day? If you're not totally happy doing what you're doing, if you're not where you want to be right now in life, then now, and it's not sitting well with you, then now's the time to take that time to make your life the life of your dreams. Are you living that life? Are you doing and going where you want to be, and are you ending up with the results that you want? If so, then, you know, that's great. And if not, even so slightly, start striving every day, setting your goals to achieve the life of your dreams. And I don't mean the lifestyle of the rich and famous. I have some friends that are unbelievably wealthy. One of them I'm going to talk about in a minute, who runs a $50 million shipping company. I have another friend who's a very, very famous magician who's, you know, doing very, very well. And I have other friends in other businesses that are quiet little businesses that are making millions. And money doesn't always make you happy. So I'm not talking about lifestyles of the rich and famous, although all that stuff is great, yachts and fancy cars and beautiful houses. But really, what is it every day that when you could go home and it puts a smile on your face? And I know, and I'm not going to get choked up, but I know that my little 9.5-year-old daughter, I always tell her, I say, you have a perfect way of ruining a perfectly bad day. In other words, that every time I see her face, no matter what kind of day I have, all I got to do is give her a hug and a kiss. And sometimes, quite often, I ask her to come up to me and just give me an energy hug. And it almost seems that her energy just, like, I suck it all in, and it just makes my day and my life so much easier. So what is it that you want to achieve, and are you getting the results that you want? If so, then that's great. If not, then now's the time to make little minor changes and build a life filled with pleasure and excitement. You may say to me, yeah, right, I know it's possible, and I'm working, you know, every day, and it's not happening, but that's okay, though. You're going to work towards it, but I want you to work at this goal of happiness. And, you know, me right now, I'm working on sculpting my life of my dreams, and I'm almost there, to be honest with you. I'm 44 years old. I'm kind of semi-retired, or basically retired, really. And when I say retired, I'm not really talking about, you know, just sitting home all day. But I pretty much do what I want, when I want, how much I want. I don't have to ever go to my school if I don't want to. I still make the money that I'd like to make. I don't have to, you know, do anything if I want to. I could literally sit on my couch and watch TV, as long as I'm focusing on my business and I know that I'm doing the right things and keeping it in place. And this is something that I've worked for years to develop. And most people, and I'll use my dad as an example, the poor guy, he's a retired cop, doesn't have a penny, and he's still a happy man, but he's worked so hard his whole life but didn't prepare the way he should have. So I'm hoping that you guys out there will start developing the life of your dreams. And if you want help at achieving this, just email me. My email is Kyoshi, K-Y-O-S-H-I, at, that's K-Y-O-S-H-I, at L-I, like Long Island, Ninja, N-I-N-J-A.com. Or you could call me on my cell at 631-374-6518. Not many consultants give out their cell phone. Or you could go to my website and check out the many free areas and positive motivational tips that I do on personal developing at takingittothenextlevel.com. That's taking, T-A-K-I-N-G, it, I-T-2-T-O, the, T-H-E, I know you know how to spell that, next level, N-E-X-T, level, L-E-V-E-L.com. And also, if you check out Taking It to the Next Level, there's a new really cool thing that I put on there, and I don't even know if Kathy saw it yet, and it's called Next Level TV and Radio, where I host a video tour of successful school owners. And I have one of my friends named Randy Weekly, and he takes us on a mini tour of his school in Colorado and how he succeeded. It's a gorgeous school. And then I also did this unbelievably cool radio interview that I believe we're releasing soon with Kung Lee. And I also have JD from the hit show Chris Angel's Mind Freak coming up soon. And also we have an interview with my good friend who's is that owner of that $50 million shipping company, and he's a martial artist, Patrick Maritata. So anyway, if any of you are interested in a free month of Taking It to the Next Level, just email me or call me or check out the site. And I want to say thanks so much for being a part of what I do and listening to my calls. And Kathy, you're awesome. And we're lucky to have you running the show over there. And thanks so much for all you do, and I appreciate it. So until next time, guys, have a great day. I'm signing off.
Thanks, Allie. Thank you very much. Okay, you too. Bye.